Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you joining on the live chat there. And to everyone who hasn't put something on the live chat, a warm welcome to you as well. Welcome to this morning's service of Christchurch Bulldog. My name's Sam Williams. I'm the assistant minister. And later we'll be looking at Jesus's words in the Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So I'm looking forward to that. Let me pray as we begin our service. Lord God, we thank you that you love us. We acknowledge that no matter how we feel, whether we are happy or sad or lonely or frustrated or stressed, it is good for us to come and praise you, and we will find satisfaction and fulfillment only in Christ Jesus. So we thank you that we can do that this morning, and we pray that you would speak to us through your word and warm our hearts as we meet with you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. We're going to begin by praising God in the words of a psalm, and those words are going to appear on the screen so we can say them together if you like. Together, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Those are lovely words. It'd be so good if we could sing together now. That's something I'm really missing about having church from home. Unfortunately, I don't have any music for us today. I know that Chris and Bernie sometimes do things like that, so I'm sorry about that. But in any case, we can look forward to the time when we can all sing together once again. Now, I've got a couple of notices. The first, I'm just going to give a couple of notices for this week. There are some more in the email that Caroline sent out, so do have a look at that. Tomorrow at 8 p.m., we've got a prayer meeting. I'd encourage you to join that. It's on Zoom, of course, and the details are in the email that Caroline sent. Or if you didn't get that, contact me and I can sort that out for you. Again, at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, though, there's a quiz for the Bob guys. So we had a nice little gathering last week, and it'd be great if you could join us for a quiz 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Now, we've got one final notice, but I'm going to leave the next video to explain what that is.
This year has been a year of change.
It's transformed church life beyond recognition.
One day, we will get back to normal.
But what should normal be?
We want to make sure we give our best for the Saviour.
To teach his word.
To evangelise.
And to worship.
But this is God's church, and he will direct its future.
He will open doors and he will close doors.
Now is the time to pray.
Now is the time to seek God's face.
Now is the time to seek God's will for our future.
Now is the time to seek his blessing.
There are people in North Harts who have never heard the gospel.
There are Christians who are confused and weary.
There are opportunities for God's word to transform lives.
We want to be part of this.
Let's tell God how much we need him.
And how much we want to see him at work.
Please join us.
Please join us.
Please join us as we pray for the future of Christchurch.
So we've got our week of prayer coming up in the first week of June. I'm very excited about that. And now we're going to turn to God in prayer, and we'll pray for a few things, but I'll pray short prayers and say Amen in between them. And we'll start off by praying for the week of prayer. Let's pray together. Lord God, you have told us to seek your face always, and we know that the church on this earth belongs to you. It is not our kingdom that we are building, it is your kingdom that you are building, your kingdom that you have gifted to us in your grace. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would guide us, guide the future of this church here in North Hertfordshire. Please give us hearts to seek and serve you. We know we can do nothing without you, and you will open doors and you will close doors. Lord God, we need you so much. We cannot do anything unless we are rooted in Christ. So please keep us rooted in him. May we receive his life-giving energy and power, and also forgiveness, because we do not love you as we should, and we do not serve you as we should. But Lord, we will never be perfect, and thank you that you have loved us nonetheless and given us the righteousness of Christ. So please use us for your glory. May we be available for your use, and may you guide us into the next stage of our lives and the life of the church here in Bulldog. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to pray for Sarah Hoskins, who will be leaving the country not in the not too distant future, all being well, to go to Thailand to take up her role in OMF as a consultant there. So let's spend a few moments praying for Sarah. Father, we thank you for Sarah and for the gifts you've given her, and thank you for her fellowship here with us. Father, we pray that you would be preparing the place she's going to in Chiang Mai. May it just be the right job for her, with people there who are just waiting for someone with the gifts you've given her to come and assist them in the work you've given them to do. We pray for good connections across OMF and more broadly for Sarah. And Father, we pray that you would give her all that she needs, both practically in terms of finances and visa, and also spiritually in terms of energy and vision, to do that role really well and be a blessing to the people she serves. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to draw your attention to something I saw on the news, as a Christian news website recently. In Nigeria at the moment, they're having a tough time. There's a group called Fulani that are attacking Christians. And just 6 days ago, 17 Christians, including 7 children and a baby, were murdered in a village. And they're using this organization, Fulani, are using the COVID lockdown as an opportunity to attack people because security forces in Nigeria are diminished. This is something that's been going on for a long time. So I draw it to your attention and let's pray for it now. Father in heaven, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who are suffering at the hands of this group Fulani. Father, we pray for your mercy to be upon them. We pray for all of the families who have lost loved ones over the last 6 months or years, a few years. We know that there have been many who have been killed. Father, we thank you that for all who trusted in Christ, death is that last enemy and it has been defeated by Christ. And for them, to die is much better. They will be with their Saviour. But Lord, we know that they will leave behind loved ones and they will be sorely missed. We pray, Lord, that you would give those communities strength. And we also pray that these attacks would cease. May you help the Nigerian military and whoever else is operating against this terrorist organisation to squash all of its activities. And may your people be able to dwell securely and in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, as we finish this time of prayer, let's just pray for the rest of this service. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you wanted to communicate with us and to teach us. Father, we pray that you would do that now as we come to look at your word. And please give us love and joy as we look at it together. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're going to have the reading, which is brought to us by Seth.
Morning all. The reading is from Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem, and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Seth. You'll see that I've asked Seth to read a bit of background there, but the verse we'll be looking at in this morning's service is Matthew 5, verse 6. Glance down at that in your Bibles if you've got them open. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed means, we got a picture of a desert there just to whet your appetite. Let me move across here. Now, I've got so many hotkeys on this laptop that something's bound to go wrong, but I'm trying to use a bit of PowerPoint today, so let's see how that goes. We'll see. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed means fortunate or someone to be envied. And we understand this picture of hungering and thirsting, don't we? It's that strong, passionate desire. Now, one author I was reading lived in the south of Egypt, and he and some friends traveled into the Sahara by camel, and they had traveled quite a long way. The heat was 40 degrees plus in the shade. And of course, there was no shade, just the sun beating down on them all the time. And one of their water bottles leaked. And so they made for a famous well, the name of which I can't pronounce. And they were looking for water. They were heading out into the middle of the desert. And the question he says in his book is, what if they didn't find any water? They'd been traveling for a day and a half with no water. They worried that if they didn't find any water, the armed guards they were with might forcibly take their camels and ride back to civilization and just leave them for dead. And he says this, my mouth became completely dry, and eating was impossible because swallowing felt like rubbing two pieces of sandpaper together. My vision became blurred, and the struggle to keep moving became harder with each step. As I staggered on, my mind turned to this verse, and I knew that I had never sought righteousness with the same single-minded passion that I now gave to the quest for water. So that's the kind of picture this verse is painting for us. But the first question we've got to ask ourselves is, what is righteousness? What is it that we should be hungering and thirsting for? I asked Seth to read about John the Baptist, because later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says to the religious leaders, John came to show you the way of righteousness, or John came in the way of righteousness. And then Jesus adds, and you did not believe him. So if we're to find out what righteousness is, then John the Baptist's ministry is a good place to start. And basically his message is two things. Here we go, PowerPoint at the ready. First is repent, which carries a whole load of Old Testament background, which shows that it means really you've disappeared away from God. Come back to God. You're not doing what he wants. You've forgotten him. Come back to him. And there's really no better illustration for that than Jesus' own story of the prodigal son. A son who leaves his father to live selfishly for a while, but all that time the father wants his son to come back. And so righteousness as repentance is a restored relationship with God. Repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry for something I've done wrong. It's a restored relationship. Secondly, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. It's using that picture of a tree or a vine, a good tree, good fruit. There's a great line in A Chicken Run, of course, that classic of sermon illustrations, where chickens go in, pies come out. Oh, what kind of pies? apple pies. And then he says, oh, my favourite. And the lady responds, chicken pies, you great lummox. So what's inside comes out. And John is looking for good works from a good heart. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Those two things. So put simply, and this is very simple, obviously we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks talking about what righteousness is in the Bible. It's a very big subject. But put simply, from the background in Matthew of John the Baptist's ministry, righteousness is knowing God and doing good. And now I want to ask, why should we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Righteousness is knowing God and doing good. But trying to do one of those things without the other is a bit like trying to love on your own. It will either end in despair or oblivious self-importance. Now, Jesus had a lot of time for the despairing, but he couldn't stand those who just did good and then thought they knew God. Really, they were just loving themselves. And the problem is that we're all in danger of that. The Bible says over and over again, there is no one who is righteous. And so why should we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Because we realise we don't have it. So I want to speak to anyone watching just for a second who feels that they're a pretty good person. And so if God is reasonable, there is no reason why you and God should not be able to get on. You probably know that we believe that Jesus died for our sins, but we also believe that righteousness itself, knowing God and doing good, is in itself a gift from God and not something we can do ourselves. Just as we cannot atone for our sin, so we cannot work up righteousness or even the ability to know God in ourselves. I think this guy puts it so well. What keeps most of us from God is not the sin we know we have, but the righteousness we think we have. So can I encourage you to pray a new prayer? A prayer that not only acknowledges the things you do wrong, but also acknowledges that you cannot know God and do good. You cannot have righteousness by yourself. There is no one who is righteous. But blessed are those who know that and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, I know that most of you watching felt hungry a long time ago and you came to Jesus hungry and thirsty. But if you're like me, then there are times when you don't feel as hungry and thirsty as you would like to feel. So what I've got for you this morning is Sam's gym routine for working up an appetite. And as part of that, I've got 5 top tips. Here we go. I'm on the PowerPoint again. Oh, that's a picture of the cross. Jesus died for our sins, but we also need his gift of righteousness. Okay, good. Here we go. Here's Sam's 5 top tips for working up an appetite. Number 1 is pray. I know it's the most obvious one. And if righteousness is a gift from God, then of course we need God to give it to us. And we can ask him for that. Now, I understand if you're like me, maybe when I said pray, your shoulders sank a little bit and you thought, I know that, that's so obvious. I've been praying for years. And I still don't have that hunger and thirst for righteousness that I would like. Well, all I want to say is this. See prayer as bringing everything you know and believe into the present moment. Jesus died for the sins you are committing now. The new creation that God has started that will one day be complete has already begun now. The Christian movement, this revolution, is taking place now, and we are part of that. Losing the sense of the now makes us feel flat, and I reckon that some of the sins we commit, we probably commit because Christianity seems like either something that happened in the past, or maybe something that's way off in the future, but it doesn't have any power in our lives now. Prayer brings it back to the now. I read something this week that reminded me of the power of the now, and again, here we go, let's see if we've got this slide. This is a picture of COVID-19 cases, and many of us have been are in the nice, blessed situation where we don't really know anyone who's been seriously affected by the disease. And that's a blessing from God that we should be very thankful for. And it can make us a little bit numb to the figures that we see on the news. We see the number of deaths, and it's horrible and awful, but it seems like just a number at times. So here we have the numbers. We've got the number of closed cases, the people who have survived, a big number, which is good. The number of people who have died, also a big number. But what really brought the whole thing into the present for me and actually made me stop and pray in that very moment was the bit in red there on the left. 46,330 people active cases in serious or critical condition. So that's 46,330 families who right now, today, well, this is a few days ago, but in the present moment, are waiting to see which way it will go and are probably devastated. And it moved me to pray because it brought the whole situation right now into the present moment for me. And prayer does that. Every time we pray, it's a unique moment of God's power bringing everything we know and believe into the present moment. And so long for him to use that moment to transform you. Second one is join others. If I pray, join others. We looked at John the Baptist's ministry before, and really it can only be described as like a revolution or a revival. Loads of people went out to him. We read from all Judea and around Jerusalem, there were these huge crowds gathering at Jordan. And I imagine that it was an amazing feeling to be part of those crowds. There's something powerful about a crowd uniting to repent and be changed. And so joining up with others can help us hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm not someone who goes out looking for crowds to get a buzz, particularly. I'm just happy sitting here on my own in my study. but we've got to remember that we as Christians are part of a global movement. We're not just individuals trying to connect with God. We're part of a church. And obviously, I'd much rather sing God's praise in church, in a crowd, than just on my own here at home. Also, look at the way people have been galvanized into action by the COVID-19 crisis. We're all in it together, and so people work together. And suddenly there are networks of people doing each other's shopping and looking after one another. And in Bulldog, you've probably had a note through the door. Businesses have all got together and put a note through the door saying, if you need any help, get in touch. So this part, the fact that we're part of a bigger movement helps us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So when you're not feeling it, when you're feeling flat, look outwards and keep going. Number three, understand righteousness. I say this because today, probably the most common use of the word righteous is in the expression self-righteous, where you're kind of on a pedestal above others around you. You're on the moral high ground. And that is not what Jesus wants us to hunger and thirst for. Equally, you may think of righteousness as that kind of old-fashioned piety, good morals, good manners. But again, Jesus doesn't want us to hunger and thirst for being old-fashioned. That's not what righteousness is about either. So probably a lot of you know the story about John Wesley, who was all about piety and manners, and he was old-fashioned because he lived about 300 years ago. But he then discovered Jesus. So he was already an ordained Anglican minister, and he was on a ship going from England to America. And there was a storm, and he feared for his life. He thought he was going to die. But there was another group of Christians called Moravians who just had total peace through the storm, and they sang together and sat quietly. And at the end of the voyage, John Wesley came up to them and said, "How did you have so much peace during the storm?" And they said to him, "Do you have faith in Christ?" And Wesley said, "Yeah, sure. I'm all about piety and morals and being old-fashioned." He didn't say that, but he said, "Yes, I have faith in Christ." But later he wrote, "I fear they were vain words. I didn't have faith in Christ." So there's that difference between having good morals, leading a good, pious life that John Wesley was living at the time as an ordained minister, and knowing Jesus, which he later came on to have. And when he did get to know Jesus, he was so transformed that his life really sparked a revival or revolution of its own. And we still today sing some of the songs that he wrote about 300 years ago. And today, those songs still actually are very energizing and enriching because he had an encounter with Jesus. That was true righteousness there, knowing God. Righteousness is about knowing God, which is awesome. And it's about doing good. But that's not the same as doing nice things. It's about being transformed and ultimately the world being transformed. So let me read this verse from 2 Peter. "In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. That is, a place where God and people are united like never before. A place of happiness, a place of justice, a place where nobody is hungry anymore, a place where there's no pollution or waste. It's a lot of the things that we love now and would love to see for our planet now. It's all part of God's scheme for righteousness. And it's quite easy to have an appetite for that when we see all of the good things that God has in store." So here we go. Number four, let life be complicated. I say that because you can hunger and thirst for righteousness when you're celebrating a success at work, for example, or when you're in bed ill and you can't do anything. And hungering and thirsting for righteousness will look different in each of those situations. Now, it can still be there. And when you start thinking about what should a Christian feel, it can be quite bewildering because life is complicated. So a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at Blessed Are Those Who Mourn. And I mentioned in that service that we're also instructed to rejoice. And now we're being told to hunger and thirst after something, to long for something. So lots of different things going on. And how do you do all of it at once? Well, really the only way is to make Jesus the priority in your life. And then let life be complicated. Let each feeling be an opportunity to praise God and to ask for his help. And finally, as we finish, point five, look forward to the meal. This is when we see Jesus face to face and we have no more guilt and no more shame. The Bible uses pictures that everyone understands. So it uses this picture of a meal. It's like the perfect feast, but it uses other pictures as well. It's also the perfect romance between Christ and his bride. It's the perfect land of dazzling jeweled cities and glistening rivers. It's refreshing fountains of water, and it will all be ours by God's grace. Because all we can be is hungry and thirsty. But God came to earth with the message, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I'm going to finish there, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to earth with this message, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will certainly be filled. They are blessed, they are fortunate, they are people to be envied, because something amazing lies in the future for them. And Lord Jesus, we want to acknowledge that it's nothing that we've done that makes us deserving of those things, but we thank you that in your love and in your grace, you have reached out to us and not just saved us, but given us wonderful things. And so we ask that you would have all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Well, that closes the formal part of our service, but do join us afterwards for a chat on Zoom. I'm going to set up the meeting now or in a minute or so, and the details will be appearing on the screen. Thank you very much for joining us, and we hope to join you again at 6 p.m. this evening and then again next Sunday, 10:30 and 6 p.m.